BotCon guest announcements, Causality Thunder Shred, Prime's Emmys, Hall of Fame inductees, TFCon exclusive. This is Geek Existence Transformers.
Now, all we need is a little energon and a lot of luck.
So welcome to Geek Existence Transformers.
I be your host, Eclipse Fearful, and with me be...
Spooky Grandma and Helmicon.
I would say I remember when I first got into collecting.
Predacons, terrorize!
Hello everyone, one more time to Geek Existence Transformers, episode number 26, recorded May 19th, 2011. Fear no evil. I am your host, Weird Wolf, and along with me, as usual, is Insane Galvatron.
And apparently you're speaking like Yoda now, reversing words.
Yes, I'm speaking like Weird Wolf, according to his tech spec. We apologize for not having an episode last week. With BotCon quickly approaching, Insane Galvatron, and to a lesser extent myself, we've been preoccupied with getting things prepared for the trip to California. Lots of things to do, and it's going to be actually hard finding time to edit this podcast, but I assure you I will have it up before we go. And to that end, there is a possibility we may not have an episode next week, but we do plan on, and we will have the equipment to do the podcast while we are in California and also at the convention itself. So we will at least try to get, if anything, an abbreviated podcast up from the convention. And hopefully you all will look forward to that. But we apologize for last week's miss, but it was completely unavoidable. We were kind of in a search for a third person to help us out with the podcast, but that search is ongoing. Aside from BotCon-related things, what have you been up to, Insane?
That has been it. Even when we get to the Ouch My Wallet segment in a few minutes, I can't really comment on anything I got because I haven't even opened any of it yet because I've just been absolutely busy with the BotCon prep. It has consumed my life for the last week and a half, just between work. You know, if I could have some more time off work, I could get things done quicker, but, you know, I mean, I've already taken off for BotCon. I can't take 2 weeks, right in a row, so... between trying to work and then trying to get all this other stuff done after work, it's just completely consumed me, and that's all my life has been the last week and a half.
And also, as far as I'm concerned, I've been a little bit under the weather the last few days. As you can probably tell from my audio, I kind of have a stuffy node. I'm still getting over a cold. And it's been a little hard getting over it because I only was able to take one day off from work, and I had to work through it a couple other days, and it's been cold and rainy here, very un-May-like in Kentucky, which really sucks. I'm looking forward to that nice sunny weather out in California, hopefully. it's been real rough for me as well. Thinking of BotCon coming up, I was talking with my wife, and, I was projecting to have a lot of spending money at the convention, and I know you and I was briefly talking about it in private this afternoon, it looks like, with things that comes up that I totally had overlooked in my birth month, I just celebrated my birthday actually yesterday, the 18th, and in your birth month, your driver's licenses and your car tags are always due, and my wife, she also has a birthday in May, and...
So her driver's license and car tags are due?
Yeah, her driver's license and car tags are due, and we've had some issues with her cell phone, and... Yeah, it's you know, money has been like sipping away rather quickly. So I'll be lucky if I have $200 or $300 again at BotCon. You know, a lot of this unforeseen bullcrap, but you know, that's the way life is. I'm going to probably try to sell a few things before I go out there to squeeze out an extra $100, $200 before I go. You know, as much as I'd hate to, I'm going to probably try to get rid of my Masters of the Universe figures and my mask vehicles. I really don't want to get rid of any of it, but, you know, I'm a Transformer collector first and foremost. So, you know, if I can get $100, $200 out of all of that, you know, I can apply that to my main hobby. So,
any better listening that wants some mask or He-Man toys, you know,
yeah, contact. And I've mentioned them here on the podcast, so if you're a regular listener, you know what I have. But I'll be posting them soon on TFW 2005 and the for sale or in the Junkion Exchange, and I'll also probably post them on Geek Existence for people to buy. And I will accept payment. I will accept payment as only via PayPal, and I will ship out this week before I leave for BotCon. So they won't be up for long, and I'll just keep that note. But we're still both trying to get ready for BotCon, and we still got a lot of things to do, a lot of prep and stuff, packing and planning and everything. So we're going to try to squeeze out this podcast as quickly as possible tonight. There will be no eBay item of the week, and we're going to truncate the Transformers Prime discussion off of the podcast completely today, tonight. Since we're kind of two episodes behind now, we're going to do both episodes, maybe three episodes in one, and a supplemental and at a later date. So look for those. And that will be in this same podcast stream, so you won't have to subscribe to anything else or go anywhere else to find that.
It'll just show up.
It'll just show up in your download queue. But without further ado, let's move on to the rest of the podcast.
Now it's time for
Ouch My Wallet!
All right, in our Ouch My Wallet segment this week, do you want to go first or you want me to?
You have the bigger haul. I guess I could go first, especially since I just mentioned I didn't really open anything. I just got to go through a list, and then I'm done. I picked up, Dark of the Moon toys came out this week. I tried to go to Toys R Us and buy the ones I wanted, because they had a promotion where you could get a free, Cyberverse Prime, the one that came with the 3D glasses, which I already have that toy, but I thought, hey, it's free, I'll give it to my nephew. Of course, I get there, they don't have one of the toys I'm wanting, which was the Voyager Megatron. And what was really bad about it, you know, I guess depending on how you want to look at it, I mean, it was kind of good because at least, you know, kids are buying toys, but I walked in the store, I'd already seen on the boards, people reporting they'd seen pretty much everything at Toys R Us. So I go in, I'm like, oh good, I want a Megatron and a Roadbuster. And I walk in the door and I see like this woman with like her three little boys, and they all had arms full of Transformers. And I noticed one of them had a Voyager Megatron in his hand. I'm like, oh cool, you know, he's buying Transformers. Until I get back to the toy aisle and there are no more Megatrons. He had the last one. And so, you know, I was pretty distraught over the fact that I drove all the way across town to get a Megatron and they didn't have any.
I hate to tell you this, but I was in there today and they had more.
They restocked. Yeah, it's just the day I was there, they didn't. Oh, well. But it's okay. I ended up buying it at Walmart. It was actually $2 cheaper anyway, as well as the Roadbuster was cheaper because he was like $11 there. He was like $9.88, so it's like $3 cheaper. But, you know, on the flip side, it was I could have gotten that Prime for the equivalent of $3 to give my nephew. So anyway, I did buy them at Walmart later. I got the Megatron and the Roadbuster like 2 days later. And then just today, on my route, I you know, drive a truck, and I was in another town that's like a neighboring county that I don't get into except when I'm at work, so I don't usually get to toy hunt there. And I actually had a delivery at the Walmart. So I'm like, hey, I'm here. I'll run here and check it out because I know people have been finding some Wave 2 stuff, and I would like to get a Top Spin and Power Glide and Blackout. Of course, they had no Top Spin. They were just full of Wave 1 Deluxes. But the Scouts, the pegs were empty. And I was just kind of looking around. I was like, oh, man, they don't have any. And I was getting ready to leave, and a Walmart employee was actually helpful. You know, he saw me walking down the aisle, and he said, can I help you find anything? And I was like, well, what I was looking for, the pegs are empty. He said, what was it? And I go and I show him, and he's like, well, those may be on the cart over here. He says, I was in the process of putting stuff out. And he, I go over to where his cart was, and he had three cases of the Ark of the Moon Scouts, and they were all marked Wave 2. So, he cracked one open, and I reached inside, and the first one I pulled out was Power Glide. And then I dug through a couple of Primes and Megatrons, and then I found the Blackout. And I hastily made my way to the checkout, and back to my truck, and on with my job.
But, what, you didn't bother thanking him for being so
helpful?
Well,
I did, and he actually thanked me, too. He says, yeah, now I actually know where this stuff goes. Because I guess, you know, in the toy department, when you're just, you know, opening boxes, I guess if you're not that familiar with the department, which he must not have been, he would have had no clue where to take this stuff to put it out. So it was like I just showed him where some of it goes.
Was he kind of wearing like a checkered shirt?
No.
Not checkered, but I mean it's like a plaid or something.
No, he was in standard Walmart attire, the dark blue shirt with the khaki pants.
Okay. Because I saw a gentleman on the aisle in that very same Walmart about an hour or two later after you called me and told me you picked up Power Glide there. I stopped in there with another buddy of mine, and there was a guy on the aisle. He was scanning things and putting stuff on the thing there. He had khaki pants on, but he had kind of like a plaid shirt. So I was wondering if it was the same dude.
No, I don't think so. But anyway, that was I hadn't opened any of it till actually just now as you were going, you know, with the introduction there. I ripped open in case people were listening and they heard hear the crinkling noises. Assuming you don't edit them out. That was me opening Blackout, just because I think the little Scorponok is cute. It's adorable.
It's cute.
It's so cute.
Aww.
I haven't transformed him yet, but he's in robot mode standing here on my desk. But the last thing I got in the last 2 weeks, this is all came in this week. Had we recorded last week, my Ouch My Wallet would have been a very short segment. I got one item last week. And there's a little backstory to this one. I'm calling it Bless Arm. In case you're wondering why.
Bless Arm.
Why I'm referring to a toy called Bless Arm. It turns out, you know, a lot of people receiving their blessers. Well, one guy posted on the boards that his blesser arrived broken because they just put it in a little envelope. Doesn't really have any kind of padding or anything. And, you know, I kind of had a feeling when we first saw the pictures of how they were packed. I'm like, oh, people are going to get broken ones. I'm surprised there aren't more broken ones than there are, though. But this guy had a broken blesser. The ball joint on his hip that one of the legs connects to had snapped off. And he wasn't sure he could fix it. And, you know, I was like, well, hey, you know, how much will you take for it? You know, I wouldn't mind having a second blesser. And I think I can fix it, you know. And he was real cool. I wish I could remember his screen name. I guess I could probably look it up here while I'm talking. But he was really cool about it. He's like, well, you know what? Since it's broken and, you know, it is such a small part, just in case you can't fix it, he's like, I don't want you to, you know, pay a bunch of money for it, because if you can't fix it, you're just out of that money. He's like, just pretty much the cost of the envelope and the shipping. So it was like $5. He mailed me the broken blesser. But now there was one stipulation, because he wanted another Target Master, and, you know, I mean, he's not too broken up about it, because he's more about he gave to charity. This was just a nice little bonus. So what he did was, since he couldn't really do anything with this one, he bought a second sidearm and then just swapped the arms and the legs. That way he would at least have another Target Master that was a little different than the other. So he had the blesser arms attached to a sidearm and sent me the blesser body with the sidearm arms and legs. And it looks pretty good. I mean, like I said, I was able to fix it. I was able to, I put some crazy glue on there when I glued it on, and then I let it dry, gave it just a few minutes, and then I popped the legs on, and then the first time I moved the leg, it popped right back off. But I didn't give up. I gave it one more try. I glued it on, but this time I glued it on and I left it overnight before I put the leg back on. And the next day I came home and snapped the leg on, and it's holding fine. And it's neat because I'm sitting on my desk. It's like I have a sidearm and a blesser, and in between I have bless arm, and it's like blesser but with different colored arms and legs. It's just, it looks cool.
Bless arm.
So he's bless arm. So I have a third Target Master, and he has a second one because he has the sidearm with blesser arms and legs. I don't know what he's calling it, though. And his screen name is V.E. Telus over on TFW, so he gets a shout-out for being a bro and selling me a blesser so cheap.
Sweet. Yeah, I mean, my blesser, to be honest, I haven't even opened mine yet. So, you know, I might have a broken one. I saw it, you know, it's in a little clear baggie. It looked like it was intact, but, you know, you never really know until you actually open it and inspect it.
Well, I think if it were broken, really need to do that. From what I understand, the reports of the broken blisters, it's pretty obvious because you look in the baggie and the leg is detached because the ball joint that's holding it on is, you know, loose from the body.
Yeah, I need to look at mine. But anyway, my haul, I guess, kind of goes back 2 weeks as well. Actually, maybe a week, week and a half, 2 weeks. So it sounds like a lot, but it spanned over a couple weeks. Plus, we had the Dark of the Moon release, and my birthday was like yesterday, and like I said, I got kind of surprised with a couple things. So, first of all, I'll start with the older stuff that I got. You know, my local Walmart, right before they got in some Dark of the Moon stuff, they restocked with a whole bunch of Hunt for the Decepticons items. Mm-hmm. And they had them on clearance for, I'm thinking it's around $7 and something other. It was pretty cheap. And they had Hunt for Decepticons Axer there. And, you know, I remembered you talking about the, it's the Revenge of the Fallen lockdown mold. Mm-hmm. And I remembered telling us in a past podcast how cool that mold was. And I'm like, well, I don't have that particular mold. You know, I'll pick it up. And dude, this guy is badass. Oh, I mean, he has like a, almost a Darth Maulish face. I mean, if you hold him in the right light and his light pipe picks up the proper amount of light and everything, he just looks evil. I really can't say enough about this figure. He's just so awesome. And if you're a fan of animated, it's almost like a more realistic version of animated lockdown. You know, he's just really cool.
Yeah, I mean, Axor is a completely different character, obviously, so he doesn't look, you know, just like lockdown, because the head's different. I mean, but he kind of reminds me of an evil Wheeljack with that head. But I think one of the things I really like about that mold, and is the neck. It has multiple ball joints in the neck to give him a lot of head posability, and it just really adds character to that toy. I mean, as far as posing him, he's so expressive with the way you can move his head around.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you noticed that one picture I took. He's got his head kind of turned to the side, and his neck is kind of down, so it's like he's kind of looking at you and has his head tilted in a sadistic sort of way. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's just evil looking, and he's really impressive. If you don't have that mold, I highly recommend it. I mean, he's a bit lanky, but and if you don't like asymmetrical figures, then you probably won't like him, because he is kind of asymmetrical. I mean, his shoulders and stuff are a little different, but aside from that, he's really awesome. But some of the other stuff that I got, I was, my DOT physical, for, my job, I had to, go up to the doctor on a day off, a couple weeks ago. And, on the way up there, you know, it's just a leisurely day. I didn't have an appointment. It's just walk-in basis, you know, so I didn't have to be there at a particular time. And my wife was with me. We were going down the interstate, and, I got a notification on my phone. From a fellow collector that lives in the Lexington area. And he said that he found Reveal the Shield figures at a local Kroger marketplace, which, you know, I've heard of them showing up there, but, you know, there's only a couple Kroger marketplaces in the area. So I really hadn't bothered looking, simply because I have to kind of go out of my way to go there. But, you know, I happened to be just maybe 3 miles away whenever I got this notification. I'm like, ooh, perfect timing, you know. So I kind of swung in there and went in, and sure enough, there they were. Reveal the Shield Legends Trail Cutter and Legends Prowl. The Trail Cutter, as many may know, is a classics type version of G1 Trailbreaker. I guess they can't use that name anymore, so they call him Trail Cutter. And Legends Prowl, and both of those figures are pretty impressive for such a small figure.
Yeah, I kind of hate you for getting those, because I want those. Those are the only two Real Shield toys I don't have, because I got the others from Hasbro Toy Shop, but they only sold a 4-pack, which, I don't know what they did with the other two, because they came, all six in a case. But, yeah, I want those, and I could not get, near that store at that time, and I'm sure they're gone by now.
Well, yeah. Actually, the Trail Cutter that I picked up and the Legends Prowl were the only ones left. The collector that pointed them out to me, he had actually picked up the other ones. And, while I was there, they had Trax and Jazz, and they were at a reasonable price. I think they were like $11.99. So I thought, I really love the Trax mold, which is also the Wheeljack mold. had to cough. I really love the Trax mold, and I figured, it's going to be worth something down the road, especially to other collectors. I went ahead and picked one up just for, to resell later.
It's an investment.
It's an investment.
All you gotta do is look at the Universe toys from 2008, and you see.
Oh yeah. Well, I just recently bought here within the last few months. I bought a Sunstreaker and had to pay $40 for it. And this is a figure that was very much like Trax and Jazz. Easily available at certain stores, and retailed for anywhere between $10 and $12. And now you can't really get one under $40 or $50. What is it, Ratchet, or is it Ironhide?
I sold the Universe Ratchet for like $60. I was amazed because I bought it on the shelf, but I think it was an end of the line toy. And it was one of those that didn't get good saturation, so it was hard to find. But I had the Henkei Ratchet, and I was looking at it, and I was trying to come up with raise a little money. I was like, I really don't need two Ratchets. And so I put it up on the boards for sale, and I did an eBay search first. I always do a closed auction search to see what they're worth, and then offered up for $5 less than the average price. And God offered me the $60 for it. So it's going from anywhere from 65, 70 to even as high as 80. So the guy didn't even negotiate. I had it for $65. He's like, I'll take it.
Yeah. So if I can make a little money on it down the road and help out another collector, I'm going to do that. All I got to wait is a couple more years. And like you said, end of the line, kind of hard to find. That sounds a whole lot like Trax and Jazz.
Yeah, the whole Reveal the Shield line is that way.
Yeah, anything in Reveal the Shield.
And speaking of that, I hate to know this is kind of a little bit of a rabbit trail, but we mentioned this the other day with BotCon coming up. It's on our minds, obviously, as we're prepping for it. They've been doing the Troop Builder packs. And I got thinking they usually have to use a toy. Like the toys that are out now will be the ones they'll use next year or they'll have access to. And speaking of hard to find Reveal the Shield molds, Retgar, that would be a really easy toy for them to use as the Troop Builder at BotCon next year.
Oh yeah,
a Junkion 3-pack. Are really you kidding awesome. Me?
It makes sense too. It really makes sense. Just have different colored Junkions with different colored or different faces, and
even if they all have the same head, just not the Retgar head. Hasbro designed two other heads with that. One was released by eHobby in Japan. I think there's a third head we've yet to see Hyde and Hair of, which will probably end up being a wide-release repaint. But either one of those two heads, or a combination of the two, if they're both easily available, so a 3-pack of Junkions with two different heads would be awesome.
Yeah. Moving on to my Dark of the Moon haul. Dark of the Moon was released on May 16th officially, but if you were like me, there's certain stores that really don't pay attention a whole lot to release dates or street dates on boxes, especially those big orange or yellow stickers. Says street date May 15th, May 16th. There was a local Walmart that broke the street date, and I was able to pick up Dark of the Moon Roadbuster, which is the Dale Jr. Amp NASCAR, and Deluxe Starscream a day ahead of time. And from what I understand, that whole case assortment had actually been on the pegs for over a week at that particular Walmart. And I just hadn't had a chance to get there since it's about 15, 20 miles away, maybe a little farther from where I live. So, I just went as soon as I could. And you could tell it had been pretty well picked through. I mean, there's a couple bumblebees left.
Oh,
and
I was in that store.
And everything.
I think you were there on Sunday, like during the morning or during the day, and I was there Sunday night. And when I was there, there were six bumblebees. Two,
and nothing else.
Well, yeah, there were six bumblebees. There were two of the Skids repaint and two Ratchets. And that was it for the Deluxes. But, I mean, you know, six bumblebees.
Yeah. They're really pushing Bumblebee yet again. I don't know how many different Bumblebees there are now. It's not even funny.
You know,
as much as I love the Camaro and I like the Bumblebee character,
I'm Bumblebee'd out.
Yeah, I'm Bumblebee'd out. I really don't plan on getting any Bumblebees from this line.
Yeah, I have the first concept Bumblebee, and then I bought the remold that had the new head, which, you know, the quality control on that one, it wasn't as good as the first release. And then I bought the Battle Blades Bumblebee from, I guess that was in the early part of Hunt for the Decepticons. So I have three different versions of Deluxe Bumblebee. And now here's another one. And I'll admit, it looks pretty cool, but I'm like, I feel like Battle Blades Bumblebee hit the nail on the head. It's the perfect representation of movie Bumblebee. I don't see the need to buy another one.
Yeah, it's... like I said, I'm Bumblebee'd out, so I'm really not a huge seeker of Bumblebee right now. But anyway, moving on, Cyberverse Megatron, I picked it up a little bit later that day at a Kohl's for more than I wanted to give. I think they were like $11.99 there, which is about $3 or $4 more than other places. But I kind of wanted to get my first sneak peek of the Cyberverse to kind of, gauge whether or not I actually wanted that size class, if they were worth it. And I was very pleased with Megatron, and I'm glad that I picked him up. He's a pretty cool little figure. Although, I think you let me realize that the battle set actually is the same Megatron toy with a trailer, and I kind of wish I'd held out for that one. But truth being said, I'm happy with what I got.
I've heard that the Prime version, which is also the same toy but with the trailer, I've heard it's the trailer on his junk and just pretty much forms a battle station. But I was looking at the Megatron one at Toys R Us the day that they didn't have the Voyager one. And I didn't look that close because I still miffed about the no Voyager Megatron, but I could have swore it looked like on the back of the box that his trailer formed a mech suit kind of thing that he wore, which made him be even bigger. So I'm going to have to give that toy another look next time I see it. The Walmart I was at today when I bought the two Cyberverse toys, Blackout Power Glide, they only had Bumblebee and Starscream. There was no Megatrons there. So he seems to be popular. He's selling. But I'm going to have to give him another look, and if it actually does make a mech suit for a larger robot, I'm going to pick that up.
Yeah. And then the very next day was my birthday, and... I actually was sick on my birthday, which, boo, sucks. So I had to call in. Actually, it was the day before my birthday. I'm sorry. But I still wound up being sick on my birthday, too. But the day before my birthday, I woke up. I was really sick. Didn't feel in any shape to go to work, so I called in. And I was pretty much laying in bed all day, surfing on my iPad and on my phone and whatnot. My wife, she decided to go over to Meijer and pick up some cold medicine for me. And while she was over there, she knew that I was looking for Dark of the Moon stuff and knew that I was after certain characters. And I guess she kind of put it in the back of her mind, which ones I was looking for. And when she came home, I'm laying on the couch watching Netflix, and she hands me a bag and says, "Happy birthday." Well, I look in the bag, and there is Dark of the Moon Cyberverse Sentinel Prime. Yay, he's pretty cool for a little figure. on top of that, there was the Starscream Orbital Assault Carrier, which is the battle set like the Prime and the Megatron. It's basically a legend-sized Starscream with a aircraft carrier slash battle station thing. And my kind of short review on that, the battle station carrier part of it really blows. It's not worth it.
You're better off Legends by the Legends figure.
Yeah, if you can get the Legends figure by itself, it's fine. And it is very basic. I have to say that. It is a very basic figure. Has a lot of underkibble, but he's still kind of cool for the size figure.
I'm just wondering if that's the same Starscream mold that they released in the previous lines.
I am completely unaware of what that figure looked like, so if you are, then next time you see mine, you can kind of gauge whether it is or not. But anyway, that's not the best of what she came home with. To my surprise, she had some Wave 2 Voyagers in the bag, and she picked up Shockwave and Skyhammer, and both are all kinds of awesome. You know, they are, I can't state how awesome they are. I really love them both. Skyhammer, I have to say, has a one-up on Shockwave. Shockwave has a very, very menacing look and everything. I like both of his modes, but Skyhammer, I love his helicopter mode. He's got a very interesting transformation. Everything seems to fit in a certain place, and you got to transform it a certain way, and it's just really cool. I like him.
From what I've seen of that toy, the thing that I think impresses me the most, that I like the most, is the way the helicopter blades fold over around the torso. So
yeah.
It kind of looks like a, the seat belts like a race car driver would wear, where they go over the shoulders, around the sides, and up the middle. Up the middle. It's like it wraps around them. I think that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It's a very nice effect. And, you know, they seem to stay just right, too. And I like that. And then today, like I said, I was in Lexington with a buddy of mine. He's been kind of down and out last little bit, and he wanted to get out, so he said, man, if I give you $10 in gas, can you just drive me around, because he's been on some medicine and he can't really drive right now. So I said, sure, you know, let's go out and goof off. And while we were in Lexington, you actually gave me a call and gave me the heads up on Powerglide and Blackout in Nicholasville, and so we went down to the Walmart down there and picked up the last Powerglide and Blackout that they had on the pegs.
Which was weird, because they were one to a case, and the guy had three cases when I was there, so somebody else came in between my visit and your visit and bought the other two.
Yeah, and there was only maybe an hour and a half between your phone call and me actually getting there and picking these up. Like you, I have yet to open either one of them, so I can't really state
I just opened
my opinion on them. I mean, I have Powerglide right here in package, and the detail on him is amazing. You know, forget that Ultra Class behemoth that we had in Universe.
Yeah, I like the idea of Minibots staying small. I loved the fact that Bumblebee was a deluxe in the first line, but he was kind of a small deluxe. And I was kind of hoping for a Powerglide around that same size. And so when I heard about this one, I got all excited. What's a Scout Class? He's going to fit right in with like Wind Charger. But these guys with this new Cyberverse scale, they're a little smaller than Scouts. So he's smaller than Windcharger by quite a bit.
He's not much bigger than the original G1 toy.
Yeah. But the thing I like, though, is I would love to see them go back and redo all the Minibots in this scale, because Transforming Blackout, I was really impressed with how complex he is. Just as we were recording, I started messing with him. I would love to see them do all the Minibots in this size class. I think this would be perfect for like Bumblebee, Cliff Jumper, even another Windcharger. I mean, as much as I like Windcharger, I got to say Blackout here impresses me far more.
I'll look forward to opening. Well, I believe that'll do it for my Ouch My Wallet, unless you can remember anything else you picked up?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, let's move right along.
Reporting directly from Hyacon, this is the Cybertron News Network.
All right, our first bit of news this week is the TFCon 2011 exclusive has been announced. And I find this one quite interesting. The attendee price, if you're going, is $40 for this, which at first you think, okay, that's pretty reasonable along what it costs, you know, for the other releases of this product and its other colors. The non-attendee, though, this is, I guess they're anticipating this being popular, and so they're trying to avoid a sellout with the all non-attendee packages. It's over $100 with shipping. But it is Head Robot's Stronghold, and it is a repaint of Head Robot's, I think what they call them, Hothead, their first release, the upgrade for the Hardhead mold to, you know, make him actually make him into a Headmaster. And it comes with all the same accessories, you know, the pack, the guns, and the head is in gray and black plastic. Now, what I find interesting about this release is you might think, okay, well, this toy is designed to fit that Hardhead Onslaught mold. You know, what are they turning it into? Onslaught was never a Headmaster, and you've already got the head for your Hardhead. And turns out the story here that they're going for is, yeah, you know, so many people got the fan projects Bruticus upgrade kits for the Revenge of the Fallen Combaticons, and so a lot of people have leftover Universe Onslaughts they don't know what to do with. So the idea is it's kind of colored to go with Onslaught, and the little bonus is packed in, because remember, the Hothead is usually around $30. This is only $40 if you're attending, which is very reasonable for a convention exclusive. But you also get a ReproLabel sticker sheet. I'm pretty sure ReproLabels is helping them out with this. Comes along with it. And we've not yet seen the sticker sheet. All we've seen is the Stronghold himself, so you see the color of all the toy and all the parts. But supposedly the sticker sheet, and I would imagine it had to be quite a few stickers, is made so that you put them on the Onslaught mold, and it makes them look like Fortress Maximus.
Interesting.
So, and that they're like I said, their reasoning, or the explanation we got from Proto Man in the thread discussing it, was that, you know, he said, like I said, you know, people pick up the Fans Project sets, so you now have an Onslaught in Deluxe class in your Bruticus, and this Onslaught mold just is really tall. It towers over a lot of the other bots, so it was just a good fit for to make him a large character. And so I can't wait to see the sticker sheet, maybe even see one all stickered up. I would love to pick this up, but I don't have an Onslaught anymore. Well, I have one, but I'm keeping this Onslaught because I don't have the upgrade set for the Revenge of the Fallen Combaticons, because by the time they announced the kit, they instantly went up in value, and I couldn't afford to get one. So I have the Henkei Onslaught as my Onslaught, and I do not have a Universe one to put this kit on. And as soon as this was announced, I went to eBay, and already he is shooting up in price on the secondary market because anticipation for this. So I may end up missing out on this as well, which, you know, like I said, if Onslaught goes through the roof in price, and the non-attendee being over $100 on this, I'll probably have to miss it, but I'm going to be regretting it, because this looks awesome, and I like the concept.
Yeah. I'm kind of lukewarm on the concept personally, but, I mean, I guess I can see how cool it would be. I mean, I have the Hothead third-party add-on, and I can say that it is very awesome, and it looks great on that mold. It's just the Fortress Maximus bit that I, you know, I'm kind of on, but
well, there's a lot of versatility in like that.
Well,
backpack.
I just don't see it in the figure though. I mean, the figure turns into a armored carrier, not a city,
right?
And that's where I have the issue.
Yeah, because they're going more for the robot mode, I think, and I think the gun placement, you could kind of mix it up. I think the guns could be attached on the back; it doesn't have to have the shoulder cannon. And I think there's different ways you can attach the guns to that backpack to where it kind of alters the robot mode look. But I think what really is going to make or break this set is, you know, because I'm just picturing, okay, classics, you know, Fortress Maximus. You know, it's another excuse to get the Hothead mold because, like you said, that's really cool. But I think really what will make or break it is a sticker. Because for all I know, when I see the thing stickered up, I may change my mind. It may look like crap. But it may, because I'm expecting it to look so awesome, I may end up, I'm setting myself up for disappointment, maybe. But,
well, never underestimate ReproLabels either. I mean, they've got some really great stuff out there. So,
they do.
You know, I'm kind of withholding judgment until I see a finalized version of the Onslaught mold with the stickers and the head on, you know. But I really don't plan on picking one of these up. One, for the cost, and two, you know, it just doesn't appeal to me personally as a collector. But that's a personal preference.
Right.
But before we move on from the TFCon exclusive, let's talk a little bit about TFCon, give our Canadian brethren up there a little plug. For those of you who aren't familiar with TFCon and are a Transformer collector, or are, you know, near the border there somewhere, TFCon is Canada's 10th annual Transformers Collectors Convention. It will be held July 30th and 31st of this year at the Delta Meadowvale Resort and Conference Center in Mississauga, Ontario. And the parking is free. There are still hotel reservations available. This is the Canadian version of BotCon. Yes. There will be Hasbro Canada will be represented there. I do know as far as guests, they definitely will have Simon Furman there. I'm not sure who else. I would assume that Derek J. Wyatt will be there.
I don't know what all guests are going to be there, but I do know that TFCon is becoming what BotCon used to be before it became official and exploded in popularity. A lot of people like that small convention where, you know, if you go year after year, you get to know everybody, you know, kind of like it would have been back in 2002 at BotCon, you know, when it was small and you had a relatively small fandom. And, you know, some people like that smaller feel. You know, the new one, BotCon's got too big. And that's kind of what TFCon still is. I mean, it's a pretty good-sized convention, but it's much smaller, much more personal feeling than BotCon. It's also not an official convention. Now, even though Hasbro Canada shows up there, it's not like an officially endorsed convention like BotCon is, which is the reason why they don't have official Hasbro products. They used to... what did their exclusives used to be before these third-party companies started popping around? Do you remember?
To be honest, I'm really not sure. I mean, I really didn't follow TFCon until maybe last year, when there was a lot of hubbub about it, you know, saying, you know, this is a really great con, you know.
Yeah, I haven't really been keeping up with it much either, except the last couple of years. And, like, last year they had the, I think it's the RC mold that you have that had a new head, and it was Nightbird.
Oh, Nightbird, yes.
And then the year before that they had the, what did they call it? It was like the Diaclone Colors City Commander armor for Classics Optimus Prime. They had that the year before, but they ended up releasing that again in slightly different colors as the Dia Commander, but they called it something else that year. But anyway, that's the last 2 years I remember what the exclusives were, and they were third party, going all the way back to, you know, Fan Project's first big release. I'm not sure what they had before that. I want to think it was customs, where they bought a bunch of figures and customized them, but they've never had the official, you know, Hasbro releases of toys like BotCon has, and it's because they're not an official convention. But I like the route they've gone with the third parties. It'll be interesting to see who else steps up and offers them an exclusive, like maybe next year.
Mm-hmm. You never know. But that kind of leads us into BotCon. You know, it's like we said, it's coming up very, very soon here within the next couple weeks. We're finally getting a list of guests that are going to be there, and boy, is it a long list. I think this is going to be the biggest BotCon by far for guests that I have ever seen.
This is quite a few.
Sheer dignitaries that's going to be there. I want to list them off here real quick, kind of say who the name is and briefly what he or she has in relation to Transformers. Let's see here. Hopefully my voice will maintain during this. forgive me. Flint Dilly, I believe that's how it's pronounced. He is the original series story editor for Generation 1, and he also wrote the original draft for the 1986 animated Transformers the movie. He will be there. Fan favorite Greg Berger, the voice of G1 Grimlock, will be there. Morgan Lofting, the voice of Firestar and Moonracer in the episode The Search for Alpha Trion. Was it The Search for Alpha Trion?
I think so.
I believe it was. They were in there, or she voiced those two female characters, as well as G.I. Joe's Baroness. So if you're familiar with G.I. Joe, you know who Morgan Lofting is just from the Baroness voice. David Kay, the voice of Beast Wars Megatron.
Yes.
Jack Angel, the voice of Astro Train, Omega Supreme, and Ultra Magnus in the series.
I can't deal with that now.
Yeah, he can deal with it this year because he'll be there.
I'm traveling across the country. I can't take my city commander with me to have him autograph it. I can't deal with that now.
Maybe you can stick it in Astro Train's ass and he'll haul it there for you.
That would be cool if we could just transform Astro Train and get in the back and fly across the country to save more money.
Yeah. Neil Ross, the voice of G1 Springer, Hook, Bone Crusher, and the Dinobot Slag. So we will have the voice of two of the G1 Dinobots in attendance at BotCon. He's going to be there. Famous artist Stan Bush. He sang You Got the Touch and Dare in the original Transformers movie, and he's forever in Transformers lore. I'm sure he's done a lot of other things. I'm not real familiar with it. I met him last year at BotCon, and he seems to be a really super guy.
Yeah, my daughter was pretty upset with me that I didn't have my picture taken with him, so I get a chance at redemption to take that picture this year.
Oh, yeah. And Stan Bush, he knows that the Transformers fans always know who he is, even though he's not, one of your top-tier artists, but fans of Transformers know who Stan Bush is, and he knows that that's his bread and butter, and he sticks with it. Even on his general release albums, he'll stick a Transformers song on there, which is really cool. But also, in addition to Stan Bush, we will have Arlene Bannis, who is the voice of Carly, beloved of Spike Witwicky in the original G1 series.
And her character is making a return in this movie. She's replacing Megan Fox.
Yes, yes. And as well as Michael McConaughey, the voice of Trax and Cosmos. I made the man cry at the OTFCC in Chicago.
Dude, I told you not to eat beans before you get in the autograph line.
No, I didn't fart next to him, no.
Oh, he didn't cry because of that? Oh, my bad.
No, I told him the true story of my Transformer fandom. Basically, I was a very sick little boy, and I wasn't able, because of my health condition and the rare heart disease that I had, I wasn't able to run and play like the other kids. It's pretty much a couch potato, sit and watch TV, and all I had was my Transformers. I didn't get out, wasn't able to get out and play much. So, unless my friends came over to visit me and play Transformers with me, I really didn't socialize that much. I guess that's why I'm a geek now. But I told him that, being a sick little boy, I had some really hard and sad times as a child. Because of that, there were things that I just couldn't do as other kids. And I thanked him for making a very sick little boy very happy. Because it was not just him, but all the other G1 voice actors that brought those characters that I loved so much to life. And I told him, because he was the first G1 voice actor I was able to actually meet in person. And I felt, I wasn't sure if I was ever going to be able to get to another BotCon, so I wasn't sure if I was going to actually be able to tell another voice actor this, and I actually told the same story to Paul Eiding once, and kind of made him tear up as well. Weird Wolf, making all your Transformer G1 voice actors cry.
That's like your goal is to make as many G1 voice actors cry as possible.
Yeah, well, that's not my goal.
I want to see Greg Berger breaking up crying in a Grimlock voice.
Yeah. No! but Michael, he was very, very touched by my story, and I thanked him from the bottom of my heart as a very gracious fan. I wasn't babbling like an idiot or anything. I told him from my heart, how much I appreciated that little bit of voice acting that he and the others did 25 years ago. They were doing it for just a paycheck, but it made a sick little boy happy. And I thanked him for that. And it touched him so deeply. And he thanked me. And the autograph that he gave me, he signed a sealed reissue Trax. And he autographed it to me. And he actually stood up and gave me a hug, and he says, thank you. I mean, I didn't see him doing that for other fans, you know what I mean, stand up and give him a hug, and you know, and he actually saw me in a hallway a little while later, and he recognized me. I think it was the next day he saw me in the hallway, and he walked over and shook my hand again. He said, thank you. You know, so he remembered me, and I really thought that was awesome. He's a stand-up guy, super nice. He will talk to you about anything. And
well, if I'm not mistaken, at that convention, because they didn't run it as efficiently as as FunPub does, and so they had multiple rooms in the hotel rented instead of doing everything in like one or two rooms, and they were only rented for certain periods of time. And the autograph room, the autographs, there were more people in line than what they had time to get the autographs made. And we had already left, I think, at this point, or maybe we were there as this happened. I can't remember, but I've heard this from numerous people. Basically, the hotel staff came in like, okay, everybody's going to clear out. This, you know, needs to be done now because we need this room for something else because it was rented out to someone else coming up. And so Michael McConaughey just stood up and said, all right, everybody out in the hall. And they just kept doing autographs out in the hall.
Yeah. He and Scott McNeil, yeah, they both got up. I know there was a couple of other voice actors that were there.
Dan Gilbazant.
Yeah, I don't think he partook in it. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying this to make him sound like a butt or anything. He wasn't. He was a super nice guy, too. I believe he just had some prior engagements he had to get to. But McConaughey and McNeil, they graciously got up and spent an extra hour sitting there out in the hallway at a makeshift table signing autographs for fans. That is the type of person Michael McConaughey and Scott McNeil is individually. They are there for the fans. They know how much the fans love them now, and I'm sure he will be happy to be there. Also, as a side note for you Robots in Disguise fans, if I'm not mistaken, Michael McConaughey was the voice director for that series. So, you know, he kind of gave that G1 influence to the people that were doing the or doing the dub over from Japanese.
I wish they would release that on DVD so badly.
Yes, I really do too. I liked it. I mean, it wasn't the best Transformers series, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It was one of those shows that got better in retrospect, especially after we got the Unicron trilogy. You know, you watch some of those, and you know, it's like, yeah, people didn't care for it at first. It was a dub, and it wasn't that great, especially compared to the Beast Wars and Beast Machines that we just had as far as the writing and performances. It was a lot more slapstick, and it was a dub, so there were some things lost in translation. And so it wasn't real popular at the time other than the toys. But the cartoon wasn't as popular as what was before it. But then, like I said, what came after it made people appreciate it more.
Mm-hmm. And one last bit of Transformers BotCon news. The Hall of Fame inductees, the human inductees into this year's Hall of Fame will be... Drum roll, please. Steven Spielberg and Michael Bay.
Oh, now he can rape your childhood at the Hall of Fame dinner. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But
I guess they're going to be there, aren't they?
I would assume so. I'm pretty sure the inductees usually are there, and since it's in Pasadena, it's out there near Hollywood, so it wouldn't be that big a deal for these guys to show up.
Show up in their Corvette Stingray and...
Yeah, but I know there's a lot of rage over Michael Bay getting into the Hall of Fame because it's one of those deals where the movies have done a lot for the franchise, but there are still some people that just don't care for the designs, they don't care for the stories. And I have to admit, Revenge of the Fallen, plot-wise, fell short. It's more just eye candy with all the big robots and battles. But, you know, a lot of people are giving it a lot of grief. Well, Michael Bay, he ruined Transformers because of what he did with the look, and, you know, your people...
Oh, please.
Yeah, you know, all your people saying he raped their childhood. Please. So there's actually people raging that Michael Bay is going to be in the Hall of Fame. But you know what? I'm going to stick up for him and say he deserves to be there. Because like or hate what he did with Transformers, Transformers would not be as big as they are now had it not been for these live-action movies.
Amen.
Now, granted, some people say that other producers could have done better. You know, somebody other than Michael Bay
maybe
might have made better movies. And maybe so. But the simple fact of the matter is, they didn't. You know, he's the one who did it. You know, because he could have made a movie that flopped. And it could have, yeah, you know, not done any effect. But he made movies that were good enough that the general public liked them.
Because
and
of him,
them.
Look how popular Transformers are today.
Exactly.
I mean, you like him or hate him, you can't deny the impact this man has, this
right.
single man has had upon the Transformers
and
franchise.
That's why he deserves to be in there, because it's not about, you know, the quality of his work, whether you like it or hate it. It's about the impact on the franchise. And
most definitely.
Yeah, you know, it's the Hall of Fame. And as far as Transformers are concerned, you don't get more famous than Michael Bay because
well,
of the movie.
He deserves to be in there more so than Erector, for crying out loud. You know, so.
And if you like explosions, Michael Bay will give you an Erector. But
wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, sorry.
Causality Thundershred. Thundershred pre-orders have went up at BBTS. He is up for pre-order at $47.99. He will be available sometime in June. Now, what you're asking, is, if you're unfamiliar is with this, is what is Causality Thundershred? Basically, it is Fans Projects. They are doing entirely new molds. Their versions of the G1 Insecticons. And Causality, for whatever reason, it's just like some kind of third dimension or something other, fourth dimension, whatever, is their version of the Transformers, I guess, for these Insecticons. Thundershred is Shrapnel. Yeah, he's the update of Shrapnel. Highly detailed and completely original mold. He's not derivative entirely of any Hasbro mold, so they can't really sue for copyright infringement or anything.
And just like with City Commander, the robot mode looks, it's enough stylized and different from the G1, even cartoon design. It's close enough to look familiar, but distant enough not really to even be stealing on their IP.
Yeah, and the little insect horns that kind of stick out from the sides of Shrapnel's head, you can actually take them off and put them on the side of his arms for like slashing claws. Yeah, but he looks really awesome. I do have the pre-order up for this thing. I think it's really awesome.
This is going to be a post-BotCon order for me, depending on how much money I spend at BotCon, how much money I come back with. But I started looking at the pictures again. One thing I didn't like about it was the arm. I thought maybe they transformed that way so that the big claw pinchers from the front of the bug were on the arm. But it looks like you have to remove them to put them down there, because it looks like in bug mode they would be beside his head.
So yeah, they would be.
It's like they purposefully designed it and are advertising it with them on the arms just to make him look even less like Shrapnel. But it looks like if you want him to look like Shrapnel, you can leave those up there on the shoulders and he'll have that Shrapnel silhouette with the horn sticking up. And
yeah.
That makes
and they actually look like they can split out to make some kind of gigantic spinning blade of death, too.
Yeah, it's like a giant throwing star or something.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, too. It looks like it's super poseable. Check him out. We'll have a link for it in the show notes. But he's up for pre-order for $47.99 at BBTS. I'm sure that Captured Prey and other places will have him up soon if they don't already. Now, I guess this figure is going to be rather small. Shows the figure's height at 11.5 centimeters without having a ruler nearby. I'm guessing that's what, maybe 4 or 5 inches.
I don't know. I can't do the metric conversions on that wheel. I wish they would just post up in standard.
So, yeah, it's not going to be very big. Shipping weight will be 0.98 pounds in package. So, yeah, he's going to be small. So $50. But you got to understand, he is completely new mold, and it takes a lot of money to produce something like that. So, I think the price is very appropriate for. Are very affordable considering him being a third-party project. Let's move on to our last bit of news here before wrapping up this episode of Geek Existence Transformers. Transformers Prime, we're not going to talk about the episodes this week, but it was nominated for some Daytime Emmys.
That is pretty cool.
Yes. The Daytime Emmys was nominated for was Outstanding Performer in an Animated Program for Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime, Outstanding Director in an Animated Program, Outstanding Individual Achievement in Animation for Vince Tomiya. He actually won that award. Outstanding Individual Achievement in Animation for Christopher Vacher. He won that award. And Outstanding Achievement in Music Direction and Composition. And lastly, but not least, Outstanding Writing in Animation. So out of six nominations, they won two of them. And, this series is absolutely fantastic, and I think it deserves every nomination it got.
Yes, you know. It's a great show. I have to admit, I'm liking it. I knew going in it was going to be hard to top animated, because animated was great. Again, going back to what it followed, it wasn't hard to beat up on the Unicron trilogy, but, I mean, animated was a great show. And it was so good that I was like, okay, Prime, how in the world is it going to compete? And I have to admit, I'm really enjoying the show so far. And so it deserves to win these Emmys, because it's I don't know how else to describe it other than saying it's a good show.
Well, and on top of that, one little quick wrap-up that's related to Transformers Prime and BotCon. Transformers Prime concept artist, I guess he's a Prime concept artist, maybe just Transformers concept artist, Ken Christensen will be at BotCon this year as well. He will be a guest as well.
So everybody can just go around asking him a bunch of, Prime questions and stuff he won't know about.
It'd be cool. Well, I believe, unless you can come up with anything extra, you have anything to add?
Nope, just that, BotCon's coming up. We leave next Saturday. We've got,
not this Saturday, but next.
Yeah, just a little over a week. And
Squee!
And I've still got a lot of work to do, so, next Thursday night, that's pretty much crunch time, because, we may be able to get a short podcast in, maybe not. I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't know how when you would edit it, unless you do it.
I tell you what, California. Let's kind of plan on not a regular podcast, but we'll try and do the supplemental there and just talk about the Prime episodes that we haven't done.
Sounds
that way
good.
We'll get that out of the way, and it won't be a full-on episode, but it will be a podcast, but not the way our normal normal format goes. So let's kind of tentatively plan on that. If it doesn't come out, you kind of know why. We're really busy. I know that. I think Thursday's also when we got to confirm plane tickets and all
that. Actually, it's Friday morning,
too.
24 hours.
Is it Friday?
It's within 24 hours of the flight, which is 8:30 Saturday morning. So we can't confirm the flight or tickets until 8:30 Friday morning.
Okay. But I know my wife and I, we've got to. That's Thursday is when we got to do our packing, because we will not have time Friday night. I've got some family things that I have to do Friday night, and also I've got to get a key to my apartment for my friend, so he can feed our loving cat. I've got things to do Friday night, so I can't be packing, and my wife's going to be doing the same thing. So Thursday's going to be really hectic, but we will try and get an episode recorded. I may have to wait till we even get out to BotCon, or I mean out to California, to edit the podcast.
Yeah, because we'll have the first half of the week before anything BotCon related is going on, so you should have time to, I would imagine.
Oh yeah, I'm
just
sure.
Did a quick Google. 11 centimeters is 4.3 inches, so 11 and a half, it's going to be under 5 inches tall.
Yeah, it's roughly maybe a Cyberverse, maybe even a legend size, a tall legends figure. But you got to take into consideration it's completely new mold by third party, which they don't have the resources that Hasbro has. So
right.
$50 is acceptable.
Yeah, it's acceptable for third party, because like you said, they got the same tooling costs, but a smaller production run to spread it out over, which is causes the cost to be higher. So it's understandable.
Oh. Well, with that being said, I believe that'll wrap this episode up of Geeky Existence Transformers. We thank you for joining us, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Geek Existence Transformers, a member of the GeekExistence.com family of podcasts. Check out our website at www.geekexistence.com, where you'll find information about our other podcasts in the family. There you'll find links and also a forum to discuss this podcast and others like it, as well as many other things geek. Interact with us on Twitter. Be sure to follow us, twitter.com/geekexistence. Also, search us out on Facebook. Here you can leave us messages as well as listen to each podcast as we publish them. Last but not least, be sure to subscribe to us and rate us on iTunes. Your feedback not only helps us stand out among other podcasts, but tells us what you like and dislike about us so that we may make our podcasts even better. Your hosts for Geek Existence Transformers has been Deron Land, a.k.a. Weirwolf, and Greg Metcalf, a.k.a. Insane Galvatron. Thank you for listening, and join us next week for another episode of Geek Existence Transformers.